Morning. Today's Daf and Shabbos is Lamed Aleph. We are on the very bottom of Lamed Amud Beis. We start this morning with some popular Gemaras. Tanur Rabbanan. The Gemara quotes a Brisa Lolam Yehi Adam Anav San Ki Hillel. Person should be humble like Hillel. Va'al Yehi Kapdan Ka Shammai. Person should not be short to anger like Shammai. Ma'isa B'Shnei B'nei Adam. The Gemara now is going to relate, and the Gemara is going to be spending a good amount of today's Daf relating these stories. As we turn to the top of the Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph, so there was a story with two Shnei Bnei Adam, with two people, Shehemaru Ze Et Ze, and they got together. Shehemaru Rashi says, like the Gemara in Sanhedrin, right? Mamrim Misayonim. So they got together, these two people assembled together. So Amr called Mishi Yelech V'yaknis Elol Yatol Dalad Me'ozuz. And so they made a bet between each other that anyone can get Hillel angry, so there's going to win, is going to be the winner of 400 zuz. 400 zuz is a lot of money. And so therefore, they put a lot of money on stake right now. Amar echad mehem ani aknitenu. And so one says, okay, so today will be my day, and it'll be my opportunity to get Hillel upset. Oh, so yom erev Shabbos, with that day happened to have been erev Shabbos, vehillel chafaf es rosho. And Hillel at the time was taking a shower, scrubbing his hair. Halach va'avar al Pesach beso. And so this person now, whose objective was to get Hillel angry, so he's walking past Hillel's house, and he says, Amar mikan Hillel, mikan Hillel. And so he says, where's Hillel? So nisate v'yatsa. So in the middle of the shower, he stops, and he wraps himself up, and he exits his house, likraso, in order to greet this person. Amar l'benima atam evakesh. And he says, my son, what do you want to ask? Amrle Shayli Yeshli Shlishol. So the person says, I have a question I need to ask. Amrle Shal Bini Shal. Hillel's response was, okay, good, I'm interested. Mimne Mav Rashem Shah Bavliam Sigal Gulos. So he says, you know, the Babylonians, they have particularly round heads, and I'm curious to know why their heads are round. Amrle, Hillel's response, Bini Shayla Gadola Sha'alta. That's a very big question. And he says, look, it's on account of the fact that they don't have good midwives. So back then, the chayos are the ones who give birth. You see the beginning of Parsha Shmos, where we talk about the chayos. So they don't have smart midwives. And so therefore, they're not good in terms of getting the baby through the birthing canal. And so as a result of that, their head comes out somewhat roundish in shape. Halach v'intim sha'achas. Okay? So, that was round one. He waited a little bit. Chazav ha'amar mikan Hillel, mikan Hillel. And once again, on a Friday afternoon, I don't know if Hillel's still in the shower, but he says, is Hillel still here? And nisa'ate v'yatsa likrasom. So, Hillel comes out to greet him. Amar lo b'ni ma'ata mevakesh. He says, my son, what do you want to know? Amar le she'la yesh lishol. Yeah, I have a question. Amar le sha'al b'ni sha'al. Hillel's response was, I'm interested, go ahead. Mimne ma einem shel tarmudim chutos. So why is it that the eyes of the tarmudim are chutos? The tarmudim, we just discussed a couple days ago in the daf, they're the people who are last in the street in terms of the mitzvah of pirsum hanes. But anyway, their eyes have a distinct shape to them. Rashi describes chutos as being rakos, they're very soft. Amalo b'ni she'la gadol sha'alta. And Hillel says, okay, it's a big question. Mimnei shedarim b'in acholos. So the reason why is because they live amongst the sand. Really interesting, Rashi over here. They live amongst the sand. Rashi writes over here, Rashi, second line down. V'haruach noshevas v'nichnas besoch einehem. And what happens is that because there's a lot of sand, the wind blows it and kicks it up right into the eye. And so as a result of that, so their eyes get softened by the sand that goes in. Rashi does offer another pshat in terms of what exactly the word chutos means and why living in the sandy region is going to be effective in terms of the second pshat. See more in Rashi in terms of what this possibly could mean, that the eyes of the tarmudim are in fact chutos. Halach v'imtim sha'achas. So waited one more hour. Chazav amr mikan hillel mikan hillel. And now by round three already, we know the basic storyline. So he says, is Hillel here? V'nis'ate v'yatsa l'kraso. And once again, Hillel wraps himself up and goes and greets this person on an Erev Shabbos. Amar le b'ni ma'ata mevakesh. What have you got? Amar le'sheila yishli l'shol. He says, I have a question that I need to ask. Amar le'sha'al b'ni sha'al. He says, go ahead, ask away. Mimnei ma ragleim shel afrikim rechavos. Why are the feet of the, now seemingly the Gemara here is referring to Africans. So their feet are very wide. Amar le'b'ni sha'ala gedola sha'alta. So he says, that's a great question. Mimnei shadarim b'in bitz'ei hamayim. The reason why is because they live amongst the swamp. And their feet have to be able to walk over the swamp. And so therefore, it is a way of adapting to their environment. And so this person says to Hillel, now realizing that this none of this is going to work. And Hillel's not going to lose his anger. And he says, look, I have many questions I want to ask you. I'm just afraid that you're going to get upset and you're going to get angry. So Hillel once again wrapped himself up and sat in front of him and says, look, I'm ready to hear any questions that you want to ask. I will try to answer them. So now this person finally lost his own temper together with Hillel. And he says, are you, Hillel, the one that they refer to as the leader of the Jewish people? He says, yes, that's me. Lo yirbu kamoscha b'Yisrael. If this is who you are, so I really hope that there's no more like you. Amale b'nima mibnema. Hillel says, I don't understand. What did I do that upset you so much? Amale mibne sha'avadati ayadcha dal me'ad zuz. He says, you should know that I lost 400 zuz. And finally, the person came clean to Hillel and explained to him the bet that he made and the result that because he couldn't get Hillel angry, so therefore, he lost 400 zuz. Amar le Hillel's response: Have zahir baruchacha kedai hu elo shetavod ayado dal meod zuz vidal meod zuz. So Hillel says to him, "I've got to be very careful. It's worthwhile for me not to lose my temper, and for you to lose not only 400 zuz but another 400 zuz on top of that. The Hillel lo yakpid, as long as Hillel doesn't get upset." Meaning maintaining my composure and keeping the peace is so important to me that whatever money you lost, it was worthwhile for me not to lose my temper. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Maisa ben Achriecha Shabbat Lifnei Shammai. There was a non-Jew who came to Shammai, Amar lo kama Torahs yesh lachem. And he starts off with the following question, how many Torahs do you have? Amar lo shtayim, Torah shebechsav v'Torah shebaalpeh. So Shammai gives the answer. And that is that there are two Torahs. There's a Torah Shebechsav, and there's a Torah Shebaalpeh. Amalei, Shebechsav ani ma'amincha, v'shebaalpeh ini ma'amincha. So the Nachri says to Shammai, look, the Torah Shebechsav, I'm fully on board with the Torah Shebechsav. But as far as the Torah Shebaalpeh is concerned, I have no emuna in the Torah Shebaalpeh. Gai reini amanah shetelamdei the Torah Shebechsav. So he says, look, I'm ready to convert, but only so that I would be able to accept the Torah Shebechsav, not the Torah Shebaalpeh. So Garbo votziya b'nizifa. So Shammai lost his temper with him and chased him out. B'nizifa. Nizifa is usually a term that we describe when describing excommunication. But basically, he lost his temper with this person. Balif Nehillel, this person goes to Hillel. Gaire amna, sorry. Balif Nehillel, he comes to Hillel, Gairei. So the and Hillel accepts that he's going to convert this individual. Yumakama Amrale Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet. And so the first day, so Hillel starts his Jewish education en route to his conversion. And he says he first starts off with Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet. Lemachar Apechle. Now the next day, so Hillel starts with the Aleph Beis again, but here he goes in reverse order. So he starts with a tough shin, and he goes backwards. So Amar le v'ha etmo lo amarti lihachi. Now on the previous day, so you didn't say that to me. So Amar le lav alai didi kasamachta de alpenami smoch alai. So Hillel says to him, look, in terms of the basics Aleph Beis, so obviously you have to rely on me in order so that you know that the Aleph Beis goes in the particular order that it does. It starts with an Aleph, it goes with a Beis and Gimel Dal, etc., etc. So he says to him, look, obviously you need me for that. So as much as you need me for that, you also need Torah Shebaalpeh. And so therefore Torah Shebaal Peh is an integral part of the Torah. Without the Torah Shebaal Peh, we simply don't know, as if to say we didn't know, if Torah Shebichsav should be read in one direction, it should be read in the other direction. Torah Shebaal Peh is the basic perush on Torah Shebichsav, and just like you need me for the Aleph Beis, you need the Torah Shebaal Peh in order to understand the Torah Shebichsav. Smoke alai, rely upon me. Interesting over here that the Shammai's position in this particular issue seems to be the more halachically correct position, in that a person comes over and says that I'm going to convert, but I'm only going to convert accepting only part of Torah and not kol haTorah kula. So the halach is very clear. The halach is that you're not allowed to accept such a convert. In fact, the halach is that if the convert comes and says I'm ready to accept everything but one particular halacha, one particular mitzvah, one particular pasuk, that too is somebody you're not allowed to convert. So when Shammai chased the person out, so Shammai seemed to have been totally within the right. In fact, the question really goes back on Hillel. Because Hillel, the person came over to Hillel and says, I'm ready to convert, but only for the Torah Shebichsav and not in Torah Shebaal Peh. And obviously Torah Shebaal Peh is a significant part of the Torah. And so when Hillel says he am ready to convert him, and in fact, Gairei, he does in fact convert him, so that's very difficult. Rashi over here is bothered by that. Rashi Gairei, he writes, V'samacha chachmaso. So over here, Hillel took a bit of a gamble, says Rashi. Shesofa shiyargi lenu lekaba alav. And he knew that he can get this convert to be convinced to the fact that he's going to accept everything, both Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh. V'lo dam yaha lechutz midavar echad. And Rashi says this is not comparable to chutz midavar echad, where there you're not allowed to accept him as a convert. So Rashi over here says that as far as Hillel was concerned, this was his belief regarding this particular convert, this candidate. And that is that he wasn't a kofer betara. He just simply didn't believe that it came from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And Hillel was convinced that after he teaches him, so he'll make him a mamin. He'll make him somebody who believes that the Torah Shebaal Peh also comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu as well. Okay, that's a really interesting Rashi. It's a, obviously, you need to address the fact that Hillel converted such an individual. In terms of Hillel being reliant on his own abilities to persuade him, that Torah Torah Shebaal Peh is part and parcel of Torah Moshe. So, okay, obviously, that required a certain level of confidence in Hillel and within his ability. Continuing, we're halfway down in the Amud. Shuv Maisa. Benachri Echa. There was an incident with a Nachri. Shebalifnei Shammai Amrle Gairuni Am Menashe Talamdini Kol HaTorah Kula Kishani Omed Al Regel Achas. So perhaps of the stories that we're going through over the course of this morning in today's daf, so this perhaps is the most famous of the stories. So someone comes in front of Shammai and Nachri, and he says that I want you to convert me on the condition that you teach me the entire Torah while I'm standing on one leg. Dachfu be'amasa binyan. Now Hillel pushes him away using a ruler. The Amasa binyan Rashi over here goes into detail in terms of a description of the Amasa binyan, but it was basically a measuring stick. And at the time, Shammai happened to have been holding it in his hand, and so he beats the Nachri with the stick. So Dachva Ba'amas Abinyan Shibiyado, Balifnei Hillel, the same person that goes in front of Hillel, Gairei, and once again, Hillel converts him, Amr Lo, and this is what he teaches him in that short moment that he was standing on one leg. Da'alecha Sani, Lecharvecha Lo Sa'avid. Whatever is repugnant to you, do not do to your friend. Zui Kol HaTorah Kula, this is the entirety of the Torah, V'idich Perusha Hu Zil Gamor. As far as the rest of the Torah is concerned, the rest of it is just perish. And so obviously it's incumbent upon you to learn the rest of the Torah. But effectively, it is the negative inversion of after Recha Kamocha. What you like, do to your friend. What you don't like, don't do to your friend. Okay. That is the response of Hillel. And that was Kol HaTorah Kula Al Regel Achas. Now, obviously, the basic idea of the Gemara over here is that the Avahavta L'Recha Kamocha, or the way that Hillel said it, Ma de'alecha sani lechavrecha lo saved. So this is an ikar, it's a main component of the Torah. And then everything else, gzela, gneva, etc., etc., are all byproducts of that. However, what's difficult to understand is the idea that we have covered a good swatch of the Torah, but that's bein adam lechavero. This incorporates all the mitzvahs that are between interpersonal halacha, between one person and another person. But then you, of course, have the bein adam lemakom, and v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, and that which is repugnant to you, you shouldn't do to your friend. Does that cover the bein adam lemakom? And bein adam lemakom constitutes a good amount of the Torah. In fact, in the Aseret HaDibros, so basically the way we divide it up is half of it is Bein Adam LaMakom and the other half is Bein Adam LaChavero. So it's true that Hillel gave him a klal that covers Bein Adam LaChavero very well, but what about the Bein Adam LaMakom, which, again, I'm not giving out numbers right now, but is also about half the Torah. So if you take a look at an interesting Rashi over here, Rashi says, "Da'alecha san lechavrecha lo savid, re'echa v'rei avicha al tazuv zu kadosh baruch hu." So Rashi over here is sensitive to this. Rashi says that the word re'echa could also be a reference to kadosh baruch hu. Al ta'avor al devarav she'harei alecha sanu she'avor chavrecha al devarecha. In other words, whatever is repugnant to your chaver, to your Re'acha, so Re'acha could be understood, says Rashi over here, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not like, so that's what you should not do. And so obviously Rashi over here is now being sensitive to the idea that not only is Hillel incorporating and including the Bein Adam LeChaver, he's also including the Bein Adam LeMakom as well. So it's an interesting Rashi on this particular Gemara. Totally understand why Rashi gives such a pshat. See continuation of Rashi, where he does offer another pshat, one which is more quote-unquote conventional. Continuing in the Gemara. Shuv ma'isa b'nachri echad sh'aya over achori beis ha-medrash. There was an achri who went behind the beis medrash, v'shama kol sofer sh'aya omer. Ve'ela b'gadim asher yasu choshen ve'efod. And he overhears the sofer reading Parshas Truma, Parshas Tetzaveh, and reading about the begadim that is designed for the Kohen Gadol. Amar halal lami. And so now he just, some follow-up questions. Who's wearing this clothing? Amru lo, le Kohen Gadol. And he says, what do you mean? The Kohen Gadol is wearing this clothing. Amar oso nachri ba'atmo elech v'ezgayir b'shvel she yishimuni Kohen Gadol. So I'm going to convert with the understanding that I'm going to become a Kohen Gadol. And so he goes to Sham and he says that I'd like to convert with the understanding that I'm going to become a Kohen Gadol. Now this, of course, is laughable, ridiculous. You cannot become a Kohen Gadol post-conversion. So you're a convert. And so obviously with a tremendous zechuyos, but you can't become a Kohen Gadol. A Yisrael can't come become a Kohen Gadol. Yisrael can't become a Kohen Edjot. Okay, so it's laughable. Dachvu ba'amas abinyan shibiyadon. Once again, Shammai's reaction. So he beats him away with the measuring stick. Balif nehilo, gairei. He goes to Hillel, and Hillel converts him. Amar leklom ma'amina melech ela mishi yodea tachzichse machus. And once again, we're going to say the same thing that we said in Rashi just moments earlier. And that is, Hillel was confident and assured over the fact that spend a little time learning together with Hillel, so Hillel will disavow him of this notion that he's going to become a Kohen Gadol. And ultimately, he will become a Ger Tzedek with the full understanding that the schus of being a Jew, and at this very same time, the idea that he will not be able to become the Kohen Gadol. And so he says to him, in order for you to become a Kohen Gadol, you have to know tachzich se machus, basically the protocol of being a king. Lech lamod tachzich se machus halach v'kara kevan shehigia. Now it happens to be that he gets to the following, v'hazar hakarev yumas, that somebody who is a non-Kohen and offers a karban, so such an individual is going to get misa. Amalei mikrazel minemar, amalei afilo David melech Yisrael. So this could be even referring to David melech Yisrael. meaning that David is not a Kohen, and if he were to do the Avoda, he'd be subject to the Chi of Misa. Nasa oso ger, kal v'chomer ba'atzmo. Now he made the following logical argument. Now the Jewish people are referred to as children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and because of the great love, karel lehem b'ni b'chori Yisrael. And despite the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has tremendous love for them, meanwhile, if anyone who is not a Kohen were to offer a carbon, he'd be put to death. Ger hakal shabab b'maklo v'tarmilo al achas kama v'kama. And meanwhile, if you have a convert who's coming with his staff and his cloak, and but he's in a lowly position, so how much more so? Hazar hakarev yumas. Balif ne shama amrle klum roi ani liyos kohen gadol. And he goes in front of Shammai and he says to him, look, I understand that I was not in a position where I could become a Kohen. The Pasuk says, Azar Karev Yumas. And he says, because of the modesty of Hillel and because of the patience of Hillel, so the bracha should fall on the head of Hillel, because he has brought me closer tachas kanfei hashchina liyamim nizdavku shtoshel makom echad. Now it happened to be that on one occasion, so Hillel, Shammai, and this new convert got together. Amro kipdunaso shel Shammai biksha latari deinim in olam. It is the anger and the short temperedness of Shammai that requested that I would be lost from the world, meaning I wouldn't have converted it had it been up to Shammai. But the patience and the modesty of Hillel was that which brought me closer to the Shechina. Ad kan divrei ha-Gemara. The Gemara has just finished its first point of the morning. Albeit it took a while, but basically a person should have the anava, the humility and the patience of Hillel, and a person should try not to be short-tempered. And it's interesting because obviously Shammai was a Tana. It was one of the Zugos. And obviously, it's fair to imagine that regarding both his knowledge of Torah and also his behavior, he was exemplary. And the Gemara over here is spent a lot of time chastising the midos of Shammai. So it could be that the Gemara over here just simply means it as a contrast, meaning that what was Shammai really exhibiting over the course of the first summit of today's daf? What he was exhibiting was really emes. It was truth. But it was a harsh truth, and it was one that didn't have any patience with it, and it was really just emes lamito. So I'm giving a perspective in which the Gemara sounds like it's being extraordinarily critical on Shammai, and it's certainly that's the simplest way to read the Gemara. On the other hand, it just could be a question of emes versus shalom, that Shammai is really exhibiting a midah of emes, and Hillel on the other hand is with his patience and with his humility, is more interested in shalom. And this is not it is an old machlokas, but it's also, you see this to this very day as well, in terms of the various personalities between emes versus shalom. Amar Reish Lakish, we are towards the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amed Aleph, and we are at the two dots. Mai Dichsiv, the Pasuk Vayu Emunas Itecha Chosin Shuas Chachmos Vedeya. So the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, the Gemara now is going to famously break up the pasuk into six different parts. Emuna is Seder Zerayim, and what we're going to be doing now is breaking up into six different parts, and each one of the parts is really going to be a heading of Torah Shebaal Peh, otherwise known as the Sedarim. We know that Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, when he took the Torah Shebaal Peh, he divided it into six different sections, six different subject matters. And so what he was able to do with tremendous organizational skills is he took Torah Shebaal Peh and he broke it up into six Sedarim. And then subsequently, each one of the Sedarim is further broken up into, well, there's no standard number, but approximately 10 Masechtas, give or take. Right? Seder Nashim is small. Seder Nashim only has 7 Masechtas. Moed, on the other hand, has 12 Masechtas. Anyway, there's a range. So he breaks up each one of the Sedarim into subsequent Masechtas, but before we get into the Masechtas, so he broke it up into six Sedarim. And the foundation of the six Sedarim is found here in the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, and the Gemara breaks it up. So the Amunah over here described as Seder Zerayim, that's a reference to Zerayim. Now Zerayim is agriculture, halacha. So what does that have to do with Emuna? So you take a look at Rashi over here. Say to Zrayim, Shalamuna sa adam somech lafrish ma'asrosav kara'ui. So Rashi over here offers a pshat that because when you take in your produce, so you need emuna in order to take off a percentage to give off to others. Meaning basically you're getting taxed. And you have to have emuna in the fact that what I'm doing is good, what I'm doing is correct, even though I'm giving away a portion of my produce. But that's the right thing to do, so that requires emuna. So that is Rashi's pshat over here, and why emuna is a reference to Zrayim. Also, as a simple pshat, Rashi doesn't say this, but as a simple pshat, you can also say that when you're planting, the fact that there's going to be a harvest, there's going to be a crop, that also requires a certain amount of emuna. So just saying as a simple pshat. Itecha zu seder moed. Now, itecha is the times, and that obviously is reference to seder moed, that's self-explanatory. Chosen zu seder nashim. The word chosen is connected to seder nashim. Chosen says Rashi, Lashon Yorshin, Vayidei Isha Noldu Yorshin. The word chosen is connected to the fact that there is a Yerusha, there's an inheritance, there are people going to inherit. Obviously, it is through the union of a man and a woman and the creation of the next generation that you have Yorshin. That's why chosen is referenced to Nashin. Yeshua Zu Seder Nezikin. The Yeshua is a reference to Seder Nezikin. Seder Nezikin Rashi. Moshian me'azir lefrosh me'hezek u'mihizchayev mamon. So the people who are being saved are the ones who are separated from damaging others, obligating other people money. So that is the Yeshua. Chachma zu seder kachim and da zu seder taharos. And chachma is a reference to kachim and da is a reference to seder taharos. An interesting Rashi over here. So Rashi says das adif mechachma. Meaning that you need even a higher level of intellect and processing and mental processing in order to go through Seder Taharos over that of Seder Kachim. Ve'afilo hachi. And so here we have now basically the corpus of Torah Shabbat Peh divided into the six sections. And the Gemara says, now all this obviously is critical. However, in terms of a framework of Torah, afilo hachi, yiras Hashem yotzaro. In terms of what is the storehouse of all this knowledge, the storehouse of all this knowledge, the silo that holds everything together, is Yiras Hashem. Is that a person has to have a fear of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Rava b'shasha machnis an adam ladin omrim lo. And when a person goes to judgment, so these are the questions that are going to be asked to him. And here we are at Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph. The Gemara famously now goes over some of the Q&A that a person will face after 120 years on this earth. Number one, Nasata v'nasata be'emuna. Did you deal in business with honesty? Kavati itim l'Torah. Did you set aside time for the study of Torah? Asakta bepira virivya. Number three, were you involved in the mitzvah of Puruvu, both in having children, making shiduchim, etc., etc.? Number four, tzipisa liyeshua. Did you wait for the Yeshua? All right, and Rashi over here says, divrei ha-Nevi'im, meaning the Navi told us what is coming up ahead. And did we have a desire that the Yeshua come? Number five, Pipalta b'chachma. Were we involved in the study of chachma? And number six, Evanta davar mitoch davar. And did you learn one thing from another thing? And that is a reference to the das. And v'afilo hachi, yiras Hashem hi otzaro in ilolo. And still, with all that stated, and even if the answers to all those questions are the affirmative, but nevertheless, Yiras Hashem still becomes the framework, the silo, in which all this is held within. Mashal Adam Sham L'Shlucha Elili Korchutin La'ali Korchitin La'aliya. So it is like a person says to his friend, could you bring up to me a kor of chitin into my storehouse? Halach Ve'alalo. So he brought up the kor of chitin. Amalei Iratulehem Ba'kav Chomten. Let me ask you a question. When you brought up all the wheat into my storehouse, did you bring also the chomton? The chomton, Rashi Eretz Malcha, Umishamer Sasaperos Mehetliya. So some sort of salty earth where you mix it in with the chitin, with the wheat kernels. And what it does is it prevents it from worming up, from infestation, and from spoiling. Amrle Lav, he says, no, I did not. Amrle Mutav Imlo Ha'elisa. So fine. So without the preservative, so there's no point in bringing up everything into the aliyah, into the storehouse. Same thing with all the chachma that we learn and all the Torah that we learn. Without Yiras Hashem, without Yiras Hashem, so we, none of it is preserved. So the Yiras Hashem is the backbone. It's the it, it's the storehouse for all of the chachma. The Gemara over here just went over with us. The various questions are going to be asked after 120 years on this earth. There is a incredibly famous comment by the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says that the questions over here, each one of them really reflect one of the Siddurim. Meaning if you look at the Gemara that we just learned together, we first went over the six Siddurim, and then we went over six questions that were asked. Now the simple pshat is the way that I read it. Meaning that the six questions have to do with business dealings and whether or not we waited for Yeshua. But if you look carefully back again at the Gemara, and you go over the six questions, what you'll notice, and you actually see Rashi do the same thing as well, where you'll notice that the six questions actually connect and correlate to the six Siddurim of Mishnayos. And the Vilna Gaon says that it is our responsibility to learn Kol HaTorah Kula, and the questions that we're going to be asked are, were we involved in learning the six Siddurim of the Mishnayos, meaning did we learn Kol HaTorah Kula? Tana. We go back to the Gemara. We are at the bottom of the Amud. Tana de Bei Rebbe. The Rebbe Rav Yehuda Ma'ariv Adam Kav Chomtim B'Kor Shol Tvua Ve'ino Choshesh. The Gemara says that a person is allowed to mix in a certain amount of Kav, it's a volume, of Chomtim within a Kor of Tvua Ve'ino Choshesh, meaning that even though when selling the Kor of wheat or whatever grain you're selling, even though when you cut in this Chomtim is something which is not edible, it is a preservative. Nevertheless, it is such a critical component to it, it is not considered like you're diluting the product, but rather what you're doing is preserving the product. And so therefore, it is both acceptable, and can even go a step further, it's advisable, that you should mix it in when selling the wheat, and it is not considered as if you are cheating the buyer when you go ahead and you mix in the chomton together with the wheat. Amar Rav Baravuna Kol Adam Sheish Bo Torah Ve'ein Bo Yiras Shamayim. As we now turn to the top of the Amud Beis, a person who has Torah but does not have Yerushalayim, Doma LeGizbar Shemasu Lo Maftechos HaPnimios, O Maftechos HaChitzonos Lo Masu Lo Ba. It is similar to the treasurer giving you the keys to the interior door, but you were not given keys to the exterior door. Baha Ayol, how are you getting in? Meaning despite the fact that you have access to get inside, but you don't have any access to get in from the outside. And so therefore, how are you expected to get in? And again, it's the same idea that we expressed just moments earlier, that Yiras Hashamayim is considered the very basic and rudimentary prerequisite to learning. And without the Yiras Hashamayim, you really can't start learning. Machriz Rabbi Yanai, Chaval al Beleisle Darta. Woe to the person who does not have a courtyard. Vitira la Darta Avid. And meanwhile, makes a gateway for the courtyard. Again, it's a mashal, it's an analogy. Basically, the idea is that without the Yiras Hashamayim, a person does not even have the requisite courtyard. I'm Rav Yehuda, lo barak HaKadosh Baruch Hu Zolama, ala kadei shirum lefanav. As far as the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is concerned, he created the world so that there would be Yiras Hashamayim. Shenamar, the pasuk says, v'alokim asas shirum lefanav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants and created the world so that there be Yiras Hashamayim. Rabbi Simon, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yasri, Chalav, Azar, Rabbi Yaakov, Baracha. So, Rabbi Simon and Rabbi Eliezer were sitting and passes by Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha. So he says, let's stand up for this individual. This person is a big Yiras Hashamayim. Amrele, literally a Yiras Chet. He fears sin. Amrele, idach nekum mekame de gavar bar urnyanhu. He says, I have another reason why we should stand up for him. He's also a Ben Torah. Amrele, aminalach ana de gavar dachel chatainhu v'amatalan adbad urnyanhu. So the first person was unimpressed. I'm telling you he's a Yiras Hashamayim. And you're coming back at me and you're telling me that he's a Ben Torah and he's a Talmid Chacham. I'm telling you he's a Yiras Hashamayim. Yiras Hashamayim is more significant, it's more important. Testayim de Rebbe Elazar hu d'amar de gavar dachel chatayin hu. Of the two, we were not given specifics in terms of who said which position. And the Gemara says, let us assume that it is Rebbe Elazar who says that having the Yiras Hashamayim, the Yiras Chet, is more significant. How do I know that? The Amr of Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Ein Lo La Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba'Olamo Ela Yiras Hashamayim Balvad. as far as what is significant to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, Yira Shamayim. Shenemra Vatay Yisrael Ma'ashem Lokech Hashal Me'imcha Ki'im Lira V'chulei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested in Yira Shamayim. Ukziv Ayomar La'adam Hein Yiras Hashem Hi Chachma. That Yiras Hashem really is the ultimate Chachma. Shekein B'lashon Yevani Karin La'achas Hein. In the Greek language, the number one is the word Hein. And so therefore, when you go back to the Pasuk in Iyov, Ayomar La'adam Hein Yiras Ha'adam. Meaning one is Yerushamayim. So tis time. So the Gemara says, yes, we can safely conclude that's Rav Elazar who gives significance to the Yerushamayim. And that having the Yerushamayim is, in fact, the most critical reason why we should be standing up for such an individual. Darash Rav Ula, Maidichsev, Al Tarshia Harbei. The Pasuk in Kohelet says, don't be too much of a Rasha. The obvious question, Harbehu de la Lirsha Hamea Lirsha? Don't be too much of a Rasha. Be a little bit of a Rasha. It can't possibly be the pshat in the Pasuk in Kohelas. Ella. Misha achal shum v'recho nodev, yachzer v'yachol shum acher v'yehe recho nodev. We heard this already back in Brachos, but we're going to say it again. Remember back in Brachos, we asked the question. A person ate food without making a bracha. Should he continue eating food without making a bracha? And to that, the Gemara's response is exactly verbatim what we just saw right now. When a person's breath is bad because he eats garlic, should he continue eating more garlic because he figures anyway his breath is bad? So they similarly over here, when a person is a Rasha, and so, okay, so he got involved in a little bit of Rishos. So don't now say that that should be licensed to be involved in even further Rishos, an additional Rishos. But rather, a person should stop. And so that's the pshat in the Pasuk in Kohelas. Darash Rav Rav Ula Maidichsev Ki Ein Chartzuvos Limosam. The people who are not fearful of death, ubarya ulam, and literally are healthy like a chamber, like an antechamber. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, what is pshat in this pasuk? So the Gemara gives pshat. Lo dain l'rishayim she'enim charedim v'asev miyom ha-misa. It's bad enough that rishayim are not afraid of the yom ha-misa. Ela shalim ubarya lehem ku'ulam. And for them, yom ha-misa is like a hallway, meaning they know about it. It's not even that they don't know about it. They know about it, and yet they don't have the proper Yerushamayim that causes them to correct their ways, to adjust their behavior, because they just simply don't have the Yerushamayim. V'hainu da'amar Rava ma'idichsiv zardarkam kesel amo, yodim Rishayim shedarkal misa, Rishayim know that they're going to die, v'yish lahem chelav akselam, and they still have the fats on their sides, meaning that it doesn't cause them to move or to change. And perhaps you'll say that they just simply forgot. It's within their mouth, it's within their lips, meaning they talk about it, they know about it, they haven't forgot about it, and it's just simply a lack of Yerushamayim that causes them to continue to sin. Kechas al Haner. We're finishing up over here. We are at the two dots on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, and we're going to go over now the last Shita of the Mishnah, and that is the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. If you go back to the Mishnah is found on the very bottom of Chavtes Amud Beis, extinguishing of a fire on Shabbos. If a person does so because he's afraid of Nachrim, or Listim, or Ruach Ra, or because of a Chola, so he's going to be Pater. And we learned already Pshat in the Mishnah, is that the Mishnah is talking about a Chola Shiyesh Bo Sakana. And really the Mishnah, when it says Pater, really means Mutter, because for Pikuach Nefesh, one is allowed to override the Shabbos, L'chatchila. Fine. And then the Mishnah continued, Kechas al Ner, Kechas al Shem, Kechas al Psil Achayev. That if a person is putting out a lamp because of financial concerns, because he wants to save either the lamp, the wick, or the oil, I'll go in the correct order of the Mishnah. If he wants to save the lamp, or the oil, or the wick, so the Tanakhama of the Mishnah says that you're chayev. And we learned together that the Tanakhama of the Mishnah is the Shita of Rabbi Huda. Even though it's a malacha she'ina tzricha legufa, you're not putting out the lamp for the purposes of kivui, but you're doing so for an external reason because you want to save the lamp. And this falls under the category of a malacha she'ina tzricha legufa, yet Rabbi Huda happens to be of the opinion that malacha she'ina tzricha legufa is chayev. And that's the Tanakhama of the Mishnah. And then the Mishnah introduces us to the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, Pota Bechulan, Rabbi Yossi gives an exemption for all the cases that we just listed, Chutz Min HaPsila, except for the case of the wick, Mimnei Shu'os HaPecha. Now when we learned the Mishnah, you probably heard me say that is the shita of Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara now is not going to be so clear-cut about this. The Gemara is going to vacillate a little bit in terms of how to understand Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara formulates the question in the following manner. Rabbi Yossi, come on, Sfirle. Who is Rabbi Yossi holding like? Ika Rabbi Yehuda Sfirle, afil abanach nam lechayev. Well, if he's holding like Rabbi Yehuda, so then he should be chayev in all the above cases, meaning just like the Tanakama was. The Tanakama is the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And we can also add, by the way, that if in fact he's going like Rabbi Yehuda, so then why would the Mishnah give us the shita of Rabbi Yehuda followed immediately by Rabbi Yossi, who in fact is following the shita of Rabbi Yehuda? But aside from that, in other words, he would be if Rabbi Yossi is subscribing to Rabbi Yehuda, so he would say chayev in all the cases. The ikar Rabbi Shimon svirlei. And if in fact Rabbi Yossi is holding like Rabbi Shimon, psila nami li pater. Right now the Gemara is thinking that he should be exempt even in the case where he's putting out the wick because he wants to save the wick. Right now the Gemara is also viewing this as a case of amlacha shein tzrich legufa, and therefore you'd be pater. Or you should be pater. Amar Ula, so the Gemara is going to give two approaches in terms of how to understand the shita Rabbi Yossi. La'olam ki Rabbi Yehuda svirle. The first approach is that really he's holding like Rabbi Yehuda because of Rabbi Yossi. Soser amanas livnos mimkamo have soser. Amanas livnos shalom mimkamo lo have soser. And the Gemara now is suggesting the following. That Rabbi Yossi subscribes to the following. If you are soser, now I understand, we all understand that we're not talking about the melech of stira right now, of deconstruction. Nevertheless, the Gemara over here is equating kibui to stira. And if you think about it, it makes sense. Meaning there are a couple of malachas, and we'll highlight them when we get to the seventh parak. There are a couple of malachas that are destructive in nature, and the reason why it's considered a malacha, a creative act, a constructive act, is because I'm destroying so that I can rebuild. And now the Gemara here is going to be qualifying that even if I subscribe to Rabbi Yehuda, and even if I say malacha shein tzrich legufa is in fact considered a malacha, but for these destructive malachas, like our malacha that we're discussing right now, that of kibui, it's only going to be a malacha when I'm looking to do the constructive act right here and right now in the same location. And I'm going to read this again. Kasav Rav Yossi Soser Amanas Livnos Bimkomo Havi Soser. Amanas Livnos Shelo Bimkomo Lo Havi Soser. So if I'm doing a destructive act where I want to rebuild right here in the same location, that qualifies as a malacha. But if I am destroying only so that I can construct at a later point in time, at a later location, that is does not qualify as a malacha. And so what we're suggesting over here is that if I'm saving the oil is going to be repurposed somewhere else. And if I'm saving the lantern, I'm repurposing it somewhere else. If I'm, however, doing it for the wick, the reason why is because I want to relight the wick right here, right now. And that makes a difference between the wicks and the other cases. That is right now what we're suggesting is Pshan Rav Yossi. So Rava says, this is a very hard idea to understand in light of the following. All the malachas we learned based on what occurred in the Mishkan. The Now over there, Soser, we're deconstructing the Mishkan. Why are we deconstructing the Mishkan? It's because we're moving locations. And it's because we're going to set it up in a new location. So the very malach of Soser that was done in the Mishkan was done in order to rebuild in a different location. And how can we call that now? How can you use this as the definition of what in fact is a malach of Soser where you have to rebuild in the same location? That wasn't the way it was done in the prototypical Mishkan. So he gives an answer and he says, look, the fact that we're relocating, everything is done, api HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That we're moving because Hashem told us to move to a new location. And so therefore when done with that kind of divine GPS, so therefore when we rebuild, it's ki'ilu, the way we view it is as if we are rebuilding in fact, the same location. That's a possible answer. Rav Yochanan is going to give an entirely different approach to our Mishnah. Rav Yochanan Amar La'olam ki Rabbi Shimon Sfirle. Really, Rav Yosef, our Mishnah is following like Rabbi Shimon. Now, when I presented the Mishnah, this is how we presented the Mishnah. It's a simpler pshat in the Mishnah. And as far as why the wick is different, is because if I'm putting it out, because what I want to do is I want to repurpose the wick. So basically what I'm doing is, I'm doing the malach of kivui for the wick. It's not in order to avoid the lamp breaking. It's not in order to avoid the oil depleting. I'm doing so for the positive production of creating a wick. And this is a malacha hatzricha legufa. This is tikkun mana. This is constructive in nature. And this doesn't fall under the category of a malacha shein tzricha legufa. Amar Rava, Rava loves this answer. Rava dekanami diktani shu osa pecham. The Mishnah actually writes this very reason. The Mishnah says, because he's creating pecham. The Mishnah doesn't say, that the pecham is created mimela, but rather he's actively creating the pecham. That's the pshat in the Mishnah. That, in fact, is the reason why Rabbi Yossi separates the case of the extinguishing, because he's making a pecham, because he's actually making a productive, a constructive wick. That is a malacha hatzricha legufa, and that's why he would be chayv in that case. In the other cases, they qualify as a malacha she'ena tzricha legufa, and that's why in the other cases you'd be potter, because he subscribes to the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Recapping our morning. The first half of today's Amud, the Gemara went over the midos of Hillel, contrasting the midos of Hillel to that of the midos of Shammai. And the Gemara over here gives a ringing endorsement that we should try to emulate the midos of Hillel. And a person should have anava, have humility and patience, just like Hillel had. And we went through countless stories this morning regarding people who tried to upset Hillel, converted with Hillel with conditions and stipulations. And in all those, in every one of those cases, Hillel has kept his cool. And as a result of that, the Gemara says that we should follow within the midos that were exhibited today through Hillel. The Amud Aleph on the bottom of the Amud Aleph, we went through the pasuk in Yeshayahu, breaking it up into six different sections, which serve as the springboard, as the backbone of the six sedarim of Mishnayos. Also, the Gemara goes through the questions that are going to be asked after 120 years. Did we deal in business honestly and faithfully? Did we set aside learning Torah every day? Where we koveya itim, and four other questions that are going to be asked. I quoted the Vilna Gaon in terms of how to understand the six questions immediately after following the six Sedarim. And the Gemara then spends a good amount of time going over, despite the fact that knowledge of Torah is critical and important, but nevertheless, Yerushamayim. Yerushamayim becomes the silo in which holds everything. And without Yerushamayim, so everything, all the Torah that we learned is going to be not significant without the Yerushamayim that backs it up. And the Gemara spends a good amount of time discussing that, and that goes well into the Amud Beis. And finally, the last thing that we discussed is the Shita of Rabbi Yossi of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah makes a distinction between putting out the fire because you want to save the lamp or you want to save the oil, versus putting out the fire because what you want to do is you want to create a wick. And Rabbi Yossi's position, who is he following? Is he following the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda? Is he following the Shita of Rabbi Shimon? The Gemara gave us two approaches in terms of how to understand the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. And we will stop over here.